beginning at verse 31. Entitled Jesus Predicts His Death. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in the Father's glory with his holy angels." This is the gospel of Christ.
So it's lovely to see Amanda and Dean back here this morning. Invite them to come forward and speak to us. I'm sure they'll introduce themselves.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa, mihi ki te whare karakia, ko Dean taku ingoa, ko Amanda toku wahine, ko Joya, Rawa Jasper, aku tamariki, tēnā koutou katoa. So I just wanted to, as Wes said, we were part of this parish from about 2006 for at least 6 or 7, 8 years. And we know a number of you, but not nearly all of you. Briefly, we were in India. We were with CMS in India for just about 5 years. We came back in the middle of lockdown. April, we arrived in New Zealand. And that's why we wanted to connect with you and visit, but we weren't able to in April, May, June, and then the time went on, and we have this opportunity now just to meet. So we used to live in the Waikanae area. At the moment, we moved back and we're living in Wellington in the Newtown area. The kids are there at school. So apologies for our kids are not with us. They wanted to be part of the local church in Newtown. At least there's a Sunday school available for them to be part of this morning. That's why they're not here. So it's nice to be here. And I'll hand the rest of it, the introduction, over to Amanda.
Kia ora koutou. Ko Amanda toku inoa. No ahi te riria ahu e tautohi ne toku nako ki inia. Ko Dean toko tane, ko Joya Rawa Jasper aku te tamariki. Hello everyone. I'm trying my very best to be grounding myself in New Zealand, so excuse my pronunciation sometimes. Because Dean is now holding out a 40-hour-a-week job, I'm going to be speaking today because I had a bit of time to prepare, so I hope that's okay with you. But he's available for many questions also. The next slide is the title of what I'm talking about today, and it's Call to Life, because there's a fairly full-on reading there in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 8. Now, we've got Peter, who had just recognized Jesus as the Messiah. Just before this reading, he'd recognized Jesus, you are the Messiah. And then in this reading, we've got Jesus turning around and saying to him, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but only the things of man. That's kind of like, oh, okay. I don't know how that feels for you when you read it, but when I read it, I'm like, okay, maybe I need to do a check here on my own life. It's really a rebuke from Jesus, but I think we all know that this Jesus we're following, he rebukes us only to call us into fuller life, only to set us free. Isn't that true? He has to break through sometimes and call us into more. And that's what he's doing here with Peter. Of course, Peter, upon Peter, he later went on to build his church, Peter the Rock, right? So Jesus is the very author of life. Through him, all things were made. He gives us life. And what's he focused on in this passage? He's about to head towards the cross. But I don't think he really wanted to die, actually. No one does. None of us actually wants to take up our cross, do we? We don't actually want to die. But he was focused beyond that, I believe. He said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And he was focused on the resurrection, I believe. Not just his own resurrection, but the resurrection of all of us and his bride. All things coming into the fulfillment of everything he'd longed for. All things being made right again. That's what he was focused on. So in there, I feel like there's a call to us. That our minds, our whole beings, are to be focused on the same things as God is focused on. The next slide leads us to, so you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man, was the quote from today. There's a verse in Isaiah 55 that says, his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Referring to God, of course. That can be a bit of a pain sometimes, can it? He sees stuff differently to me. But if I look in my life, if I actually stop and take a look in my mind, there's often a lot of anxiety there, if I'm honest with you. There's often a lot of stuff going on where I'm quite worried about something. I'm like, there's things in there that are not bringing me life even. Does that make sense? And he wants to renew our minds so that we're free of those anxieties and that sort of thing, I think. So it's actually comforting that his ways are higher than mine. It says in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. We're called to take every thought captive and align it with the way God sees things. Get God's perspective on things. And for me, that's a daily call to renewal and a daily call to live in hope, actually, rather than despair on stress. So it's actually, can you see what I mean? But it's actually a call to life. So I guess the challenge I find in this is, am I holding to the things that are important to God in my life? Do I, if we boil it down, do I care about the things that God cares about? Is that what I'm orientating my life towards? And I think that's an invitation more than anything to live a really full and awesome life. The next slide is our son. This is Jasper. This was taken when he was at about 3,000 metres up in the Himalayas where we were trekking. This is near to where we lived. It wasn't that far away. And he looks pretty happy, doesn't he? He's full of life at this point. The next slide is a slide of our daughter, Joya, down in the bottom right view there. She's sitting in a meeting in Bihar, which is a state in India over near the border with Nepal. And along with some of the people who were working with the organisation we were working with, they were holding some women's discussions there. They were talking about human trafficking from that area. And also they had been doing a lot of work on child marriage in that area. And so they were meeting together to discuss the woman with the yellow headscarf on, sitting virtually next to Joya. Her son had been trafficked, and he had been able to return to his village. So he was sharing of his experience, and he was in encouraging others to ways in which they could protect their children. And so that was a meeting that she was involved with us there as well. The next slide is just basically to report back that, you know, we've been involved in child protection and human trafficking prevention in India. And I think that's, how do we get there? I think we followed things that we felt like were important on God's heart, which doesn't mean it has to be that far away. Doesn't mean it has to be that sort of a grander title, you know. But I was sitting in the lounge room of a friend of mine in Delhi one day, and she had been working with children rescued from the brothels, and she was talking about the conditions they'd come out of. And the children would be hidden inside the walls during the day and brought out all night to serve the men that came. And so they would have about a foot of space all day, every day, in which they were hidden. And I just thought, I have to do something about this. This is not okay, you know? And there's something about it from many of you in this room has been to support us going, you know? Not everyone can go. But we already had language. We already had 5 years or so in India. And so it was something we were able to become involved with. But we were involved at the prevention end. So the organisation we worked with, they already had work in all these villages and relationships happening in all these villages, and they were noticing people being trafficked from those places. So we were able to help work responses to that. Next slide. This is up the valleys from where we were. I have to say, it's really hard to talk about this stuff because then people connect in their minds India and human trafficking, and they don't think about all the amazing things about India. Things that I find challenging. These villages have existed for thousands of years and they're not destroying the environment. You know, that's a challenge for me to learn from them, okay? So I think we have to remember they're getting some things really right that we can learn from. But also there's these big problems. Next slide is just life up there. We didn't have an Enfield, but we borrowed that one time. We had a different bike after a while and we would get around that way. But mostly we were just teaming with our Indian workers who were in these locations. So what were they involved in? There was a lot of awareness. So this is one of the people from our team who was at that time talking to the children's group in a village about what was happening when people would come to their village and offer to take them into the cities with all sorts of opportunities at hand. And she was talking to them through what can really occur at the other end of that. So building awareness is one aspect of it. Next slide is this. But we really needed to work with leaders and parents and the whole communities to build not just an awareness, but also a resilience, if you liked, trafficking. So this is a workshop where local people are running a skit in this area. What was happening was men from Haryana, Punjab, men from faraway states were coming up into the mountains and they were buying women to take back as brides. Now, to you and me, that sounds horrific. But actually, if you were a mother in that area, all you were hearing was, oh, my daughter might have a chance in a wealthier state. These people are wealthier than we are down there. This is a better life for her. And I don't have to come up with a dowry, but actually they're giving me money. And so they would send their daughters willingly. So we were doing some skits and some things to challenge that this was okay. is actually it wasn't. Actually, it was very, very, very high risk. And that the local, you can imagine, we're in the Himalayas. It's very hard, if you live in one valley, to keep in touch with your daughter who lives in another valley, years and years ago, I mean. So the custom had become that if you married your daughter off, for example, to another family, then she was with them. She was no longer in touch with you. So we were challenging norms like that around keeping in touch with your daughters after they leave and all of that sort of thing. It's very complex, but I'm just glossing over it. Next slide was me spending time with some of the women there. And after that, we ran... So we did this sort of awareness. We did a lot of building of skills and networking people with police and other NGOs that could help them. But we also opened a sewing centre to provide another opportunity for women for income. So these are the women. Some of them are our team, like the guy at the side there. But a lot of these are the women from that area who had been learning to sew with our group. When COVID hit, they changed to sewing a lot of masks and doing COVID awareness in that area. Next slide is just working together. And we did a lot of work with families. This was something that I got really excited about, actually, because we were seeing a change in the very way decisions were being made in that area. It's a very patriarchal society. And so if you were the father, you usually just made the decisions for everybody in your family, and that's how it had worked for generations, but it wasn't working so well anymore. And so we were able to run these workshops where we introduced just other ideas about ways of problem solving as a family, other ideas around communication and so on and so forth. And at first I was really skeptical. I was like, this isn't going to work. There's no way. And yet the testimonies that came out of this stuff, of the girls saying, now my parents understand me. They listen to my feelings. They include me in decisions. And I'm able to talk and tell them my point of view. It was awesome to see that kind of change happening within families, because I think families are the building blocks of society. So small starts, but actually big changes. This is one of those testimonies. Radhika was talking about, since my parents both have joined this course, as a result, I could see amazing changes and transformation in my parents. I love this because usually we do parenting courses in New Zealand, so the kids will change, right? This is a testimony where the parents are changing. Now my parents are able to listen to me whenever I share with them, and now there's no discrimination between a boy and a girl in our family. There's another testimony after that that's very similar. She's saying, we're 8 members of the family. Earlier, my parents were not speaking openly on any issues, and even they were not listening to any of us in the family. Since the start of this Powerish parenting course, my parents have both joined. We were able to see some changes in our parents through this course. They are now able to listen to us, and sometimes they're able to feel our emotions as well. Emotions are not something that is normally talked about there. The good thing about their change is that we all appreciate each other. Sometimes our input on house or budget finance and homely quarrels are being addressed, which is a good sign. We're thankful that through this parenting course, we've been able to see these changes. So these seem like small things, but when you understand the kinds of decisions that are being made, it's actually potentially life-saving. We also were obviously networking people with people who could rescue in cases where there was trafficking occurring. And we were linking everybody up to be able to respond. So that's just a very, very, very brief update about the work we've been involved with. It's still continuing. I'm still consulting with the team further up into this particular valley. So we really would like your prayers. It's a massive spiritual battle, to be honest. Changing a mindset of a culture that's ancient doesn't happen quickly. So please do continue to pray, and we want to just thank you for all of your support. I lost track of time, so I don't know if there's time for questions, but at least we're around after the service if you want to grab us.
think I want to ask a question of Amanda. I'm sure there's tons of things. Not Penny.
Okay, so our daughter Joya just has 2 years of high school left. Our visa was running out. We'd just done 5 years and we needed a new one, and then COVID hit. And our work was also in a place where a lot of the local people were taking over what they were doing with a lot of strength. So all things added together, we needed to come back. We couldn't choose to stay there. And once back, we were like, we really need to give Joya stability for those last few years of school at least, and into her next season. We don't want to just up and leave as soon as she's 18. So for the next 3 or 4 years, we've planted ourselves here in Wellington. And after that, let's see, I'm not sure. I haven't actually started to, or we haven't looked into this field of work in New Zealand, because although there is a crossover with various Asian communities living in New Zealand, there's also a lot of nuances to it in New Zealand. It's very different and it's a whole other ballgame, and I haven't been ready for that yet.